Welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast with Don and Suzanne Manning.
A podcast where we share with you great insights about everything family from over 30 years of parenting 7 kids and over a decade of equipping parents through our Crazy Cool Family Ministry.
So let us inspire and equip you to build your best family.
Hello, hello. We are well into season 6 of our podcast now.
And
we
talking about relationships, yes. Loving it.
Today, go ahead. We're going to talk about respect.
Yeah.
What is respect? How do you give respect? What happens when
showing respect leads to getting respect.
What happens when you are disrespected?
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to play some Aretha Franklin for you, but Suzanne wouldn't let me.
Why don't you just sing it?
No, she sings it so much better than me. I was gonna start the podcast just blaring it, you know. But she said that would be a little bit too much. So I didn't do it. I can give you the definition of respect. Respect. What would you say? So, without me reading it to you, what would you say the definition of respect is, Suzanne?
Well, I was gonna say that we valued it, and I think that everybody wants it. People want to be treated with respect, and so for me, I think if I were to boil down respect, I think that it simply just means treating someone well, you know, treating someone with honor and value.
You're getting very close.
What does Webster say?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's Webster, but this is Google. Google says, but I think there's some things in here that are worth mentioning. Showing regard for their abilities and worth, valuing their feelings and their views, even if you don't necessarily agree with them.
Valuing. That's what I like. Valuing feelings.
Giving them the same consideration you would expect for yourself. And I think that's a theme that I want to touch on as we begin is, your mom used to say this all the time, that kids are just little people.
Yes.
And so one of the things that frustrates me the most in watching parents is they don't treat their kids as people.
Is how disrespectful they are to them. Yes. I mean, and I think that that's right. It looks as if they're not treating them as people, more like animals. Sit, stay, you know, come, go, you know, treat, want a treat? So how we talk to the dog. And so many times you see parents treating their children that way. And I don't know if it's, do you think that there's, I mean, like, I don't even know that, I don't even think parents would even consider it disrespectful. I just don't think that they realize the
impact.
Well, the incredible intelligence of the child that they're talking to. Mm-hmm. If they understood the intelligence I was talking to a grandma the other day, and she was talking to me about talking to her grandchild. And I said, oh, you can use full sentences with your grandchild. They might not be able to respond, but they can understand exactly what you're saying. You can say, would you like a chocolate chip cookie or an oatmeal cookie? You know, and they can say versus cookie, want cookie, baby, cookie. I just think that I think that even when it comes to that disrespect level, I think that we just talk down to children all the time.
I can't even talk over here because I'm really tickled and watching her.
I'm over here like flustered and impacted, you know, on behalf of the child, like, let me, you know, fight for the child here. Please treat me like a human, says the child in front of you.
Yes. And so often, my example I use a lot is a parent will be talking to us, or I'm watching them talk to somebody else, and they're just jovial. They are excited. They are, you know, just have animated. And then their child comes up to them and really just has a normal request that a 5-year-old child would do. I want a cookie. I need to go to the bathroom or whatever it is. And all of a sudden the mom or dad just becomes this different person. And they're looking down at the child. They are talking, you know, oh, you interrupted me, or it's a frustrated. And it's like, wow, would you talk to that person across from you that way? No, then why do you think you should be able to teach, you know, your child's more important than that person?
Right.
Why should you be able to? So you can see that it's something that is really kind of a, even though I laugh about it, it really is, it can be serious because it can do not giving your child respect okay, what's the consequences of that? When someone doesn't respect you, what do you want to do? You want to avoid that person. You don't want
right.
you will go around that person. You'll do all these things that will cause relationship issues. Well, what if we're actually causing that as parents?
Yeah, and so I think that with parents, I think a lot of the times we think, well, yeah, I respect my child, but we've already talked about that you don't treat your child like a, sometimes we don't treat our child like a human. But I think a lot of the times parents come with expectations that their child is going to respect them. When reality is, we as the parent maybe not have even treated respect to the child, so the child doesn't know any different. And these expectations, I mean, they come from scripture, so they're legit. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life. And this is my best part. And do not despise your mother when she is old. I mean, you got to love that. And listen, my son, to your father's instructions. This is Proverbs 1:8-9. And do not forsake your mother's teachings. They are a garland of grace around your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Scriptures say, kids, you need to honor your father and mother, Exodus, so that you may live a long life. You know, when you respect and honor your parents, you're going to get, I mean, it comes with a promise.
Well, and so go further with that. So what are you saying out of that? Because the parent expects the child to meet those standards. Then when they don't, what happens?
Yeah. And so, yes, by all means, you should expect that and desire that and train that and teach your child to honor and respect you. Most definitely, we want to do what Scripture says. Scripture's right. We want that, and things will go well with you. We want things to go well for our child. Not only that, but we want our children to be respectful, and they're learning how to respect when they interact with us, because then they take that out to the world. That's how they're going to respect their teacher. That's going to how they respect their coaches. That's how they're going to respect their spouse,
so
their bosses.
Would you say then that what I'm going back to is, you said that's what we want to. We want that from them, but we also have to instill it in them. So we start by giving them respect. The way we train our child to be respectful is to give them respect and honor.
Yeah.
And that really does go against, I mean, think about it. In past culture, there's some arguments against that because they say, well, children should be seen and not heard. And it really, like, especially in our culture today.
Yes.
In our culture today, that in order to effectively parent, there may have been a day, you know, in the past when children would, you know, be seen and not heard, and that was the culture. That's not the culture today. And it's not that we have to be permissive parents. It's not that we have to make the child, it's not a child-centered home. It's not any of that.
Right.
But it is giving, even back then, I would still have advocated to give honor to the child and to not make them feel like second-class citizens.
Yeah, and embarrass them and all the things. So if you think about what is at the heart of respect, like what's at the very heart of it, well, you know what I think it is? I think it's liking someone. If you like them, like I think about if I am out and about, if you will, and somebody calls and I think, oh my gosh, I'm not going to answer that phone. I don't want to talk to them. Okay, well, that's not respectful. And that the core of that is I don't like them. Or if my phone rings and it's one of my dearest friends, I just get this feeling of, oh my gosh, I love them so much. And I'm quick to answer the phone no matter what's happening because I like them. And I think that a lot of the times with parents, the reason that we don't treat our children with respect is because there's something in there we don't like. Now, I'm not saying we don't like the child themselves, but maybe we don't like the responsibility that the child has put on us. Maybe we don't like the work that the child is making us do. Maybe we don't like that the child throws a fit all the time. Maybe we don't like that the child is disrespecting our space of freedom when I just want to take a nap, you know, and you won't let me take a nap. And so I just encourage you parents to press into the heart of maybe why you're not respecting your kids. And I tell you what, I can talk to parents and by the way they talk to their children, I can tell if they respect them or not. Because when we talk highly of our kids and we talk, oh my goodness, my child's so amazing. They've got their feet on the ground. They're loving their Lord. Or, oh, you know what? They're just lost. They don't know what to do. They're a mess. They can't get their schoolwork in and they can't. When we talk about our kids, that right there shows our respect for them, or lack of respect.
And I think that what one of the things you might be trying to say here is, I don't want to put words in your
mouth. Yeah, summarize me. Yeah, well, clarify me.
Well, I want to clarify you a little bit. Yes, clarify what I think you're saying is that like and respect don't necessarily have to go together. So, for example, let's look at it from, for example, maybe our child has a coach and we don't really like the style of the coach.
Right.
We're still to respect that coach because that coach has been put in an authority in our lives. And so we may have issues with the coach. We may appeal to the coach in certain ways, but just because we don't like the coach doesn't mean we don't. And we teach our child the same way. We teach our child to respect the coach because he's the coach. And in the same way, God has placed those children in your home. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt there is a role they play in your life, and you have a responsibility to them. Well, just because you don't like what they're doing doesn't give you the authority to disrespect them.
Right.
It's the same way. It goes up and it goes down. That we, you know, just the same way if you had a boss, you want your boss to respect you.
Right.
You want your spouse to respect you. Well, your children want you to respect them too. And so when we don't, it causes relational problems.
Yeah, I would say that at the root of
I do a good clarification?
Yeah, that was really good. And I'm glad that you clarified that because that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to like somebody to respect them.
Right.
What I'm saying is that it's easy to respect someone that you like. And as the parent, you must like your child. You have to. I mean, there might be a behavior you don't like, but your child, yes. And if you don't like them, then ask God, help me like my child, and he will. He will bring all sorts of qualities.
But even if you're
up
in that stage of not liking them, you still, it will still disrespect.
The behavior is still.
Disrespecting them is going to cause relational problems. And so, you know, and so let's just.
Well, I just want to say something really quick, that Jesus respected little kids. He said, mm-hmm. let the little children come. The disciples didn't respect little mm-hmm. kids. The disciples said, get them away. They're a nuisance. And Jesus said, let the little children come. And then he goes back further he goes on to say, be like a child. You know, have faith like a child. And so there is great value in a child. A child has so much to teach us mm-hmm. as an adult. There's things that we missed along the way as a child that our children can fill in those gaps. But there's also things in our adult world that we have left behind because they're childish ways. And our children remind us again because they carry such joy with this and happiness and playfulness. And as adults, sometimes we just get our nose to the grindstone and work, work, work. And children are such a blessing to show us the greatness and the fun in life.
Well, so let's dive into that a little bit. Littles, you know, we always talk about littles, middles, and bigs. Littles being up to grade school, middles being grade school age, you know, kindergarten to fifth or sixth grade, and then bigs being middle schoolers and high schoolers. Let's just talk about littles for a minute. How do you show respect to a 2-year-old?
Oh, yeah, and so simple. The 2-year-old is playing with something and whatever, they're playing with some toys or whatever, and it's time for you to go. And so you show them by saying, okay, we're going to leave in 5 minutes where you can play for 5 more minutes. They don't get time at all. They just know that that they're going to have to stop playing soon. And so one of the ways so we just shout that as moms because we're in a hurry all the time and we want to leave. And so what we do is we get down on the floor eye to eye. That's how you show respect to any adult. You look them in the mm-hmm. eye and you get on their level and you look down there and you say, I'm going to help you clean up your toys so we can get out the door. We're going to go to the grocery store and this, that, and the other. So you get on their eye level. You help them transition from what they are doing to what you want to do. And then you use your words to tell them you're going to do that. You do that with your spouse. Yeah. You do that with your employees. Yeah. I mean, why would you not do that with this wee little person that's being molded and shaped?
Yeah, I think about that like many times a younger child will pick up something they're not supposed to pick up. Mm-hmm. And so all we do is we just go up there, give me that. And we just take it from their hands and they wonder why they throw a fit. Well, if somebody did that to you, you know, that you would kind of throw a fit too. If you
or haul off and punch them. Yeah, I mean, depending on what kind of self-control you have.
But I think so often it's just approaching the child with, you know, they've got something. Okay, we need to teach them that they have something. I remember when I was this is even before we got married. So Suzanne brought Molly to so Molly's one, maybe one and a half. She was about maybe two. And so we're in my house that I lived in before we got married. And I walk in the room and Molly has this 32-ounce bottle of shampoo and is proceeding to pour it out on my carpet in my bedroom.
Which was a punky thing to do. I mean, we all have to agree from the adult standpoint.
But what happened is, and the point is I am about to lose it because I'm like, oh my goodness, I just see this child pouring all this stuff on my carpet. And Suzanne's like, wait a second, you know, we're going to get on to her. I get it. But just see.
She needs to be taught that she can't do that. But in her life, she never knew she couldn't do that before.
And it also looked really cool to watch about a gallon of shampoo that is piling up. And so seeing it through the child's eyes.
Bigger and bigger.
Exactly. And so and that was just the first instance I had of, because I would have never thought. I would thought, man, you take that child and you spank their hand or you spank their bottom or whatever, and you take them and you get that rid of them and you yell at them. And that's because that's just what I knew. And so, but you know, when we start to the concept of respecting a child's wishes was kind of foreign to me, but I learned that that is a pathway to their heart. And that's what we focus on. Over time, I've learned and bought into more. And again, what we guard against is then sometimes parents think that we're telling you to be permissive. Not true. We're just telling you respect your kids.
Right.
And respect them and treat them like people. Instead of like Suzanne did at the first of the podcast, and I'm still laughing at that. But you know, stop, stay. Here's your treat.
Sit.
So little kids, that's a great of really just getting in their world, seeing it from their perspective, and maybe just slowing down a little bit with how you redirect their paths. That's a great way. So let's talk about middles for a second. So you've got grade school kids. What are some ways that we show them respect?
And so grade school kids, they're the ones that they're starting to grow out of childhood, if you will. And so to understand that there's a struggle between, you know, childhood and adulthood and meeting them where they are. Because I think a lot of the times we continue to treat them as children, and they are. So they, I mean, that's justifiably so. But what would it look like if we treated them with a little bit more maturity, more respect? Meaning, what if we give them more responsibility? What if we have them do chores around the house? And what if we have them do the dishes or help cook dinner or maybe even cook dinner sometime? Maybe they just serve cereal for dinner, but now they've got that responsibility. And so what you're doing is you're teaching them how to grow up, but you're doing it as you come along beside them and respect them. I think one of the best things that Don did in this age group was we've talked about it before, is he coached all of our kids and their sports teams. And with that, he showed them great respect. He didn't talk down to them. He didn't say, you played terrible. That was awful. He would get
Sometimes it. Sometimes I
did. No, you never said you played terrible. You would say, how do you think you played? You know, and then he'd take what they said. Well, I did this, this, and this. And he would maybe affirm them. Yeah, you're right. You did that. But you did this. And so
I think that's a great way for middles, is what you said, is to involve them, ask questions. I mean, they're starting to get to where they know some things. And so, hey, what do you think about this? You know, they're starting to, and when they do voice their opinions, you know, what did the definition say? It said, we value their opinions. It said,
have consideration of their emotions.
We value their feelings and their views. That's what I was looking for. So when they have a view, and it's going to be sometimes illogical, it is always amazing to me how logical and perceptive they are. And so, you know,
so clever,
but sometimes they have a disoriented view of the world, and that's okay. Just saying, never thought of it that way. Instead of we see parents a lot needing to correct their kids so that they will be right. It's good intentions. They want their kids to be right. And so they argue back with them, and they actually create arguments when, you know, that, you know, it's, Suzanne will say sometimes, you know, when a child does something and misbehaves, are they going to do that when they're 15?
Right.
Because and sometimes that's just a great perspective to have, that, you know, we don't need to make them perfect at 4 or at 7. You know, they're probably not going to do that when they're a teenager or, you know, when they're an adult. And so we can give it a little bit of grace and a little bit of room to let them have an opinion, or, you know, let them learn, and maybe just asking questions and involving them.
Yeah, for sure. And so with littles and middles, you're teaching them respect. You're showing them respect. You're showing them what it means to respect. You're the example of respect. You're all of those things, because where it really, really plays out is in the older kids.
Yeah.
We have seen so many parents not respect their teenagers, and then their teenagers not respect them. I've heard teenagers talk to their parents, and it's just made me crazy. It's like, my teenagers never talked to me that way, and I never talked to them that way. And so this is what you're building in those littles and middles, is you're building that, that relationship of respect for high school, or for the older kids and on. I mean, because your relationship goes until, well, we still have relationships with our children. They're adult children now, so it never goes away.
Well, and I'm along that road before we get into the bigs. This is a great time as a mom or dad to just include them in your lives. I think that when, you know, I remember one of my guys I read a lot about is John Eldridge, and he talked about, you know, his dad, he had a lot of trouble with his dad, but he had a grandfather, and the grandfather would on the summers he would go to the grandfather's ranch. And the grandfather would just include him in what he did, you know, like, and he would take him with him to see all his buddies up at the store. And he would say, you know, this is a cowboy right here. He is riding, and he'd put him on a horse and let him ride. And he would just do things. And John says he felt like a man.
Yeah.
You know, he just felt like he was respected. He was honored by the grandfather. Mm-hmm. And so, and it just made his whole world. You know, that's what's happening with our middles. Their heart is getting formed.
Yes.
And so when you, you know, I think that, you know, one of the things that happened with me was including them in coaching their sports teams and being involved with them. You know, that was an area where we went and competed. And so we were able to say, hey, you're a warrior. You go out there and fight, and I believe in you, you know, and I was willing to be included in their lives, and then including them. And I, like, you know, I've got a neighbor over here. He's got a couple of boys, and I just think, you know, I think he's developing a great relationship with them. He takes them hunting with him. He takes them with him where, you know, he's involved in their boys. And, you know,
they're sporting events. They're sporting, he's involved. But, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just finishing your sentence.
Yes, exactly. And so I think that being involved with our kids' lives and also involving them in our lives.
Mm.
Some of you may be, you know, home improvement people or whatever, you know, whatever it is that you're involving, because making them feel like a man, or making them feel like an adult, a woman, or whatever it is. You know, if it's maybe that, maybe for wives, it might be if you're, you know, doing something in, you know, well, husbands or wives, if you're cooking, if you're, you know, whatever it is that you are doing that is something you love to do, is including them with it.
Yeah. And so there's a trend that's happening now that's about child-centered, you know, this child-centered world. And what it's doing is it's taking us adults and putting us in the child's world. And what we're saying here is include your child in your world. I mean, invite them into the things that you're doing so that they can get a glimpse of what real world, what adult world looks like. Now, we're not saying that they shouldn't have their childhood. They shouldn't have their child world. But we're saying that you don't have to stop your adult world and go play with them all the time. They can play by themselves. Maybe you play, read a story to them. You know, you do something in their world once a day or something like that. But pull them into your world if you want them to be involved, when you want to show them what it's like to be a grown-up, how to be treated with respect.
Okay, what about bigs?
Okay, and so, well, we just had talked about that you're training them in the respect with the littles and the middles, but the bigs, it's the most important place. You have to have respect for them. That means that the biggest place for this for you parents is your tone of voice, your nonverbals, the way you hold your face when you talk to them. You can't roll your eyes at them. You can't have this thought process in the back of your head that, oh my gosh, you're so stupid. Okay, well, let's all agree that teenagers' brain doesn't work, but that doesn't mean that they're stupid. I mean, teenagers' brains are running 100 miles an hour, and the synapses that are happening in their brain are the same as when they're a two-year-old. So that's why they sometimes act like a two-year-old. Yep. And then you infuse a bunch of hormones in there, and then you infuse peer pressure, and you infuse the things of
Instagram,
this world, Instagram,
and TikTok,
and the sin and the enticement of this world. And they're fighting a very big battle. They do not need us as parents to come in and disrespect them and the choices that they're making.
Well, and think about this, you know, it is a battle, and you want to win the battle of their hearts. Are they going to be attracted to a parent that disrespects them? Who are they going to run to?
We want to be a safe place.
Yeah, what would you do if you have a boss that disrespects you all the time? Do you run to them for influence and advice, or do you, talk behind their back and really just avoid them? Maybe you don't talk. Hopefully you don't talk behind their back, but I mean, do you avoid them? And you know, is there that boss is usually talked about in the office and everything else? Do you want to be that parent? Or do you want to be the parent that, like, wow, I can come to my parent with anything. I can come to my mom or my dad with anything because they are safe, and they respect me. And even I may not like what they say, but I believe that they respect me. You know, I think we said this in a podcast just a few weeks ago, but I just remember saying to our kids a lot, you realize I'm for you.
Right.
You realize I believe in you. I love you. You know, so what I'm doing here, it may be hard, but it's not out of because I don't like you or because I don't respect you. It's because I believe I'm doing what's best for you.
Right.
That's some ways that you respect your kids is you, like Suzanne was saying, just listening to them, mm-hmm. You know, just before we talk about in our discipline course a lot is to, listen before you respond or think about your response before you react. I'm getting
right.
The words wrong, I think. But
no,
I mean,
no, we just say respond instead of react.
Yeah. And so think about it before you do it. Ask the questions. Make sure, you know, sometimes we even ask our kids, like, what do you think we should do about this?
Right.
And
like, be curious. And with those older kids, honestly, can I be honest? We want them to make mistakes while they live under our roof. We don't want them to ever do dumb things, but if and when they do dumb things, we want it to be when they live under our roof so that we can give them the wisdom of our experiences and say, yeah, it's not a good idea to get drunk at your friend's house when you're, 14 years old. And let me tell you why. And, or 16 years old. And if we look at it from that perspective, parents, that our kids are going to mess up and it's okay. And we want them to do that while they're living in our house so that we can treat them the way they should be treated. You know, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do consequences or anything else like that. But yeah, you messed up. Yeah, I hate it that you messed up. I hate it that, yeah, you know what? Now you're going to have to go apologize to those parents. We're going to have to, these are the consequences of your actions.
I think a lot of parents really, if you got into underneath the real heart of the matter, they don't see their kids as adults. And meaning that,
and they're not adults, but they're adults in the making. So if you were to see that my children are adults in the making.
Yeah. And so, I mean, what I mean by that is they are real people with real beliefs and real challenges, and they need a real God, and they need a real parent that's going to help them because they are, I probably didn't say it right at first, that they were adults. I don't mean that. What I mean is that they're real people and they're having real issues and they're going through a real, just like, I mean, Suzanne and I were talking today about some things God is showing me about wanting to change my belief systems in some things, in some very deep areas of my life. Well, the teenager's going through that too. They're going through real issues, real values, real belief system changes. And when we want to respect that. We want to respect where their hearts are.
For sure.
And we want to help them, not tell them what to do, but help them navigate. It becomes more and more about conversation and less about restrictions.
Yes.
So often in the teenage years, we are scared of what we're fearful. Sounds better than scared. But I mean, so we're fearful of what they're going to decide. We're fearful of what the, and so we, basically try to, you know, come down on them in a way that's disrespectful. And so if we'll release our fear and believe more and realize that they are real people going through real struggles, then we start to give them more respect and honor.
Yeah, so good. So good. One of the questions that people ask us is, how did you correct your kids when they disrespected you? And so one of the things...
I just beat them. No. No. I think that one of the things I will say to dads in particular is, your kids don't ever respect the queen, disrespect the queen.
Yeah.
That if our kids, you know, especially I had big boys going through the house, you know what I mean? And if they ever disrespected mom, yelled at mom or whatever, we just shut down at that point. You know, we're not doing anything. You're not going to talk to your mother that way. I think that's a really big deal.
And I think that's so good, you know, for the husband to come to the wife's rescue in that. But moms, you have to stand up to your kids. You have to demand that kind of respect. So if you're not respectful of them, then you can't expect them to be respectful of you. If you're screaming at your teenage daughter, then she only knows to scream to you.
Well,
if you're screaming
way,
at your 1-year-old or 2-year-old, then she only knows to scream at you.
That's
and so that's what works. It's all they know. It's what you've taught them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would do when they would disrespect me, once again, knowing that, okay, I would say to them, I didn't talk to you that way. I don't treat you that way. I don't raise my voice at you. I didn't scream at you. I don't look down at you. And so I would show them that that's not how I was treating them. And I wanted to be treated in the same way. But if I did yell at them, if I did mm-hmm. do any of those things, then I would have to start with, okay, let's stop. Wait a minute, back up. I'm sorry. That was rude and disrespectful of me. Would you please forgive me? That was uncalled for. I lost my mind, you know?
Yeah.
And I can justify by saying I was afraid or I was alone or I could, whatever, if you wanted to, or else you can just leave it with, I'm so sorry, will you please forgive me? Can we start over?
So that leads you to this conclusion, or it should, that disrespect, when your kids are disrespecting you, chances are it started with you disrespecting them. So,
and you can change that. That's the good news.
So
you can change that.
So the first thing I would say when my kids disrespect me, or when they were disrespected me, the first question was, what have I done to make that happen? And so, and to Suzanne's point, you know, I would tell, the way I would share it with my kids is I don't ever get to be angry with you. I don't ever get to yell at you.
Right.
And so therefore you don't get to yell at me. And so, but if what she's saying is, if we've done it or we've caused it, then we start to go back to that. But having said that, if I didn't yell at them and they yelled at me or they disrespected me, I would say, that's what we would say is, hey, you're disrespecting me. We are going to shut this conversation down. And if you keep disrespecting me, I'm not disrespecting you.
Mm-hmm.
We got a big problem here that we're going to address, and the disrespect that you're showing me we're going to get over that
mm-hmm.
before we go do anything else, before any freedoms are done, or we're going to talk about anything else with you, because that's not a culture of our home. That's not what we do in our home. And over time, you know, I would say that didn't happen in our home very often.
No, it very much stressed me out. It would make my heart beat fast if there was disrespect.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely not the culture of our home.
In the same way that happens, and another area that can happen is in disrespect of siblings.
Right.
And so that's another.
I
couldn't
do that well either.
You create, what you do is first, the way you handle disrespect is you don't do it
right.
as a parent. So you stop yourself from doing it. And then it becomes a value in your home. If you want to go back a couple of episodes when we're talking about parenting on the same team, you know, that there's a value in your home that we don't disrespect each other.
Right.
And so therefore, when it happens, everybody knows that when it comes up, it's going to be handled and it's going to be important. It's kind of like lying, you know. You say, hey, we're not going to lie in our house. We're not going to disrespect others in our house. And again, how you handle it is it just kind of shuts down the, hey, that's not something we're going to do. We're going to shut down this situation until we can get over this.
Yeah. So good.
So, all right.
So let's conclude.
Let's wrap it up.
And so I
can
just,
I play Aretha now?
Not yet. Maybe at the very end. Someone has asked, what's a couple ways that you can cultivate mutual respect? You know, what did you do? And what if you feel, you know, like somebody had said, what if we feel hopeless and that our kids can't unlearn this behavior of disrespect? And so I just wanted to give you some super practicals. And the first two start with you. You go first. Okay. One is to clear the slate. And what I already mentioned, ask forgiveness. Just clear the slate in the areas where you have been disrespectful. Go in and say, you know what? I'm so sorry that I was disrespectful here and I treated you disrespect. Because you parents, one of the most valuable things you can do is apologize for your behavior and your reaction. That's one of the most important things you can do. It literally clears the slate and you get a do-over. And another thing is, and I mentioned it, is pay attention to your tone of voice and your facial expressions. Are you giving respect with how you're communicating with your child? I think so many times we do not understand that we're not showing respect. We're like you, we keep said it over and over again. We're not treating them as people. We're treating them as less thans. And then the third thing is, and Don had mentioned it, to have a standards conversation defining respect and the desire for it in your relationship. And so you maybe you and your teenager, if you're not getting along, you guys go out to dinner and you say, first of all, I'm so sorry. And then second of all, I'm going to start paying attention to how I talk to you. And this is what I think respect is. What do you think respect is? Do you want us to have respect in our relationship? I desire it. Or can we start over? Because I think a lot of the times our kids just don't even know. They don't know that they're being disrespectful because they've been treated disrespectfully, so they don't know any different. They don't realize it.
Yeah, what you're saying is, you know, a lot of times the discussion of respect is really about relationship healing.
Yes.
It's really about connecting, and you can use respect as a pathway to them. Everybody wants to be respected. You know, everybody wants to be, I mean, that's why Aretha made $1 million off that song, because everybody wants to be respected.
Oh,
and
yes.
You know, it resonates with, and so maybe you use that, whether it be your teenager or your 5-year-old, you know, and again, the discussion's different, but you're like, you know what, we're going to establish a culture of respect in our home, and it starts with me.
Mm-hmm. And then just to kind of piggyback off husbands and wives, it starts with you two too. It starts with your relationship. Husbands, you have to treat your wives with respect. And oh my gosh, wives, there's so many disrespectful things we do to our husbands. Mm-hmm. You know, we roll their eyes at them. We talk down to them. We make fun of them. We literally have this idea that they're less than. And so just pay attention to the respect that's happening in your home. And we just encourage you to take it to the next level and build this culture of respect. It's worth it, and it's amazing, and to build home to be a place where you want to be, where you feel the most respected. What would it look like if you felt the most respected?
I think it really does. It when there is respect in the home, it makes the family fun. I mean, it really does. It makes relationships go forward. There's a levity in the home because there's mutual respect and there is an honoring. And I think actually it makes your kids obey better. It makes them respect you. If they respect you, you know, they don't want to disappoint you. They don't want to do a lot of things that are helpful.
So true.
All right.
Okay, so, we can wrap it up.
Yes.
be done. Yes. Okay, you're going
to. Here we go. Ready? I'm almost ready. Come on. Oh, I had it and then I lost it because I put my phone down.
Well. Maybe you can teach your kids how to spell respect.
Yes.
Maybe exactly. You can play that song at the beginning of your conversation. This is what our family's going
to
do.
I've been waiting for 35 minutes to do that. Here we go. Go be crazy, parents. CrazyCoolFamily.com.